GreatSuccess.com.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today. Be magnified in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you visit everyone in the name of Jesus. Let no one return back the same way, and grant everyone an encounter they will never recover from, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. The episode today is titled, Stepping Out in the Face of Doubts. Today is highly power-packed, and I'm sure God wants to bring us to the realm of having fruits, having results, and to the realm in which we can say, yes, I was able to achieve my goals this year. I had many goals last year. I wanted to get so many things done. By the end of the day, I could only get very little done. And that got me thinking. That got me asking questions. Of course, I was able to get many things done that I didn't even know I should get done. God just brought them my way. But you know what it feels like when you really want to get things done and they are not getting done? That's what God wants to be helping us with this series. So the series is called A Simpler Way to a Fruitful Life. But we'll be having different topics along the way, or it could be the same topic. But the main series is A Simpler Way to a Fruitful Life. And the episode today is titled, Stepping Out in the Face of Doubts. Why are we looking at this topic of doubts? One of the major reasons why we don't get things done is because of doubts. Because we are faced with a lot of doubts. We are in between opinions, in between different things we should do. For example, this generation, we have so much information. We know so much. AI is not even making things better. If you are using AI, maybe you want to put a thumbs up in the chat and it has helped you. When you use AI, this is what happens. Billions and billions of data and information are just available to you within seconds. That's exactly what happens. So when you go to ChatGPT, for example, and you ask a question, it's actually routing through billions and billions of information across the web, and it's just performing some iterations here and there and bringing you an answer. That is exactly what it's doing. So I can know things that my great-great-grandfathers never had the opportunity to know, and I will know it in seconds. And it will be presented to me as if the wisest man in the world is talking to me. And while this has some good benefits, of course, it's helping my business so much. It has some good benefits. It also has its own side, because now you have so many options to pick from. Previously, when people finish maybe secondary school or college, the normal thing that comes to their mind is either to get a job or to go to the university. But right now, there are so many options, so many courses you can study on your own at home. Because of that, you can be facing what we call double-mindedness. You're like, should I pick this one? Should I not pick this one? That means uncertainty has increased, which could somehow lead to hopelessness. Uncertainties, because now you have options. Do you know why you are not certain? Because you have options. Let's say you are going to a particular town, and the only way to get there is what you call point A to B. You know, maths. When you say A to B, straight line as the crow flies, right? If that's the only way, there is no doubt, there is no alternative. You just start from where you are and go to where you are going. Simple, straightforward, you get there. But let's say you have 10 routes and God help you, you now have Google. It will give you so many options. Use this one, use this one. You're like, oh, which one should I even choose? So it increases our doubts. It increases indecision. And that's why many things may not be done, because now you have so many options. And that's what God will be helping us with today. John 15, 1-4 says, I am the true vine. That's Jesus talking. And my Father is the vine dresser. He's the one who takes care of the vine. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He prunes it. And every branch that bears fruit, he says, he actually takes off everything from it that won't allow you to bear more fruit. That means it will help you to become more productive. That is the meaning of that statement. He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word. That's not what we are looking at today. We are looking at the fruitful part. So God is obsessed with fruitfulness. That's the only word I can use. God wants to see results. When he brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, one thing he wanted from them was worship. That was the fruitfulness he needed from them. He said, let my people go that they may worship me. One thing, God wants results. Jesus told us about the parable of the man with the talents, and he was angry, was showing us how God is angry with those who don't produce results. Jesus himself exemplified that. When he was going along a path, he was hungry. The fig tree did not produce fruit, and he cursed it, and it dried up from the roots. That means God wants results. And that is why you and I must be result-oriented. Let me use the word of this generation. We must be crazy about results. Don't be patient with lack of results. If you are doing something and you don't have results, don't be patient with that. We'll talk about patience and impatience, but I'm talking about when there is a result that should happen and it's not happening. No, don't just sit down and wait. No. It's time for you to begin to question things. What am I not doing well? And look more to yourself than even to the devil or to God. God has done his part. He said it's finished. He has finished his work. The devil doesn't have power over you. So then the question comes to you and I. What should I do that I'm not doing? Stepping out is all about taking actions. Remember, the topic is stepping out in the face of doubts. When you are not sure, how do you still step out? How do you still take actions? When everything is saying no, the wind is contrary, so to say, and you need to sail your boat, how do you still go ahead? Stepping out is all about actions. You know, in January, we had our checklist, and for as many as who cared, they printed it, and they started checking it. Now, 50 years of taking checklists or filling out everything and planning and programming is not even equal to one step forward. So the question is, are you going to take a step forward? Am I going to take a step forward? I have planned, yes. And what does planning and programming do? They make the actions more precise because now you can picture what the future looks like. You can actually schedule all the activities in the future and know what step to take after the other. That's what planning and programming does. They make you achieve results and make action taking more precise and easier and even more fruitful. But trust me, 10 years of planning and programming will never be equal to one step forward. I want to start a business. What is the step forward? Take a step forward. I want to change my career. Take a step forward. I want to get married. Take a step forward. I want to be at peace with my spouse or with my friend, with my brothers, with my sisters. Take a step forward. It's all about taking steps. So wherever you are, I just want you to declare that I will be focused on actions this year, not just talking. I will be focused on actions. Actions. Because at the end of the day, praying, fasting, doing all these things, if you don't take actions, the blessing will just be hanging there. When you pay your tithe, God says, I will open upon you the windows of heaven, that there won't be room enough to take it. Guess what? For many of us, there are many blessings hanging. You know, God says one blessing, right? Or just a blessing that there won't be room enough to take it. Do you know how many times we pay tithe? For many of us, even the heavens are almost complaining that, where are we going to put all this load for you alone? You are not collecting them because we won't take actions. The grace to take actions may be released to you and I today in Jesus' name. So action, action, action. The next thing is what leads to doubts? What leads to doubts? Number one, double-mindedness and indecision. It's also called doubt in itself, but doubt is when you are not sure of what to do. Should I go for what? Should I not go for what? To go or not to go? To move or not to move? That is it. So what causes it? Because you have a double mind. Do you have alternatives? One thing you need to do, which is the next point we're going to be looking at, is making sure you have one option to go ahead with. This is what I want to do, and I'm going ahead. When you only have one option, doubts will naturally disappear because there is only one way. So, for example, if you want to succeed in an exam, there is only two options. Number one, to read. Number two, to write the exam. So if you know that the only way to get your promotion or to get your success this year is to write that exam, whatever exam may mean in this case, not literal exam now, whatever it will mean, is for you to read, to study, and then to register for the exam, and then go ahead to do it, then please go ahead. No more delays. No more delays. Action, action, action. Action. And here's a general rule. Philippians 4:8. I know sometimes we are not sure. Is this the will of God? Is this not the will of God? Let me tell you something. I hear God, though. I know when God talks to me. Most major decisions I've taken in my life, I didn't hear God saying, do this thing. No, I didn't. I just saw a green light inside of me. Or when I was trying to take that action, God did not say no. So I started taking steps, trying to look around. For example, if what you wanted to do was do a business and you don't know whether it's God's will or not, it doesn't alter to study about that business, right? So take that step. While you are studying, while you are learning, while you are asking from people, you will be shocked at how much revelation God will eventually reveal to you while you are studying. So sometimes the first thing is for you to even just study. You don't have a go ahead. You are not sure whether it's God's will. Go ahead and study. Learn more about that field. Ask people questions. Ask questions here and there. And you'll be surprised at how much clarity will be coming your way. So the first thing is Philippians 4:8. It talks about whatsoever things are truthful. So the first thing you want to ask yourself is this truthful? Is this going to promote the kingdom of God? Ask all those questions. Is this godly? The first thing you want to find out is, this action I'm about to take, is it a godly action? If it is not godly, you know it is not God's will. So that is cancelled. But if that is settled, then you want to ask the good success question. Is this going to bring pain to some other people? If it's not going to bring pain to some other people, you can check it. And then check other things. Just make sure you read Philippians 4:8. Make sure you read that by yourself. So, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Is this true? Does this represent the truth of the word of God? Is this noble? Will I be ashamed after doing it? Is there a nobility around it? Then, whatever things are just. Is this in line with justification, in quotes? Is this in line with righteousness? Is there a cheat in there? Will I be cheating other people while doing it? Is it pure? Do I have pure motives? Is it lovely? Is it something that you can give testimony about in church and not be afraid of it? Will it bring good reports? He said, if there's any virtue, power, something that will add to you, anything praiseworthy, he says, meditate on these things. These are the things you think about. So if it aligns with all these things we've mentioned, then you can focus more on it. Because every will of God will align with all these things I've just read. What leads to doubts? I've mentioned it before. Realize that doubt comes because you have many alternatives. Number 3. People who have no alternatives do not have anything to doubt about. What do you want to doubt about? There is no doubt if you have no alternative. So, number 1, for God, it's just like somebody wants to get a job and then somebody is saying, come and sleep with me before you get the job. If you are aligned with God, you know there is no alternative to God. As the man is saying it, you are almost insulting him because you know that it's a no-go area. Like, no, there is no consideration. Right there, you are saying never, it's not going to happen. And you walk out. Because now your mind is set on God. There is no considering, should I do, should I not do, no. Because it doesn't align with Philippians 4:6. It's not pure. What leads to doubts? The first one I mentioned is double-mindedness and indecision. Then number 2, lack of clarity. If you are not sure of what to do, there will be doubts. You will not be able to take action. That will hinder fruitfulness. And lack of clarity is mostly due to lack of planning and programming. So if you have not printed your own checklist, if you have not written down your plans for the year with serious clarity to the last letter, then you may have doubts because now you are not sure of what to do. You are not sure of what to do after you have done something. You are not sure of all the steps involved in your actions, even to getting your success. So lack of clarity. Where do you need clarity? What should I do? That's the question of what. WHAT, what should I do? Then the second question is, why am I doing this? What are my motives? Once you answer that, you are beginning to have more clarity. When should I do it? And with whom should I do this? Who are the people to help me? Once you have all this in place, then you will see that once your clarity is there, doubts begin to disappear naturally. Clarity. Work towards clarity. Your vision for the year, don't just put one ambiguous thing there. In coming weeks, we'll be breaking some of these things down. How to actually know the goal. Let me quickly say this, maybe to help someone, because it has helped me while preparing. I was going to be achieving some things every week this year. And I saw that last week I didn't achieve it. And it was painful. But while preparing, I began to see why I may not have achieved it. Because I only said the goal. I didn't actually see the actions that will lead to achieving the goal. And remember the 10x rule that I said before, that if you want to achieve something, just multiply your efforts between 2 to 10 times efforts is what will get the action done. So, if, for example, let's say this is what you want to achieve. I want to make a million this year. By the end of the year, I want to be making a million every month. Or I just want to make my first million by the end of the year. I know a million is like nothing in Nigeria now. But let's say you have not even gotten there before and you want to make it. So it's good to say, oh, by the end of the year, I will have at least a million in my account. Fine. Break it down. How much will I make in a month? Of course, you already know. That's at least 100K in a month. That's what I need to be making a month to meet 1 million. Then a month, oh, at the end of the month, it's easier to push it forward. Then break it to week. You have 4 weeks in a month, right? So 4 weeks, that's 25K every week. So you already know whether you want to achieve your goal or not. And a week is even too long. Break it to per day. So that's like 5K a day. 5 working days, right? 5K a day. So if I'm not making 5K a day now, it will take the special grace of God for me to get a million by the end of the year. And even a day is too long. Every activity I'm doing per hour should actually be worth 700 naira or dollars or whatever. Every hour. That means every of my hours should be worth that. If my hour is going to be worth that, you already know what you need to do. No distraction. Maybe for some people, no football for like 2 months because you want to move faster. You are saying, no, no football. I will watch the highlights. Maybe that's what will save you, because now you know what you need to do per hour and you are focused. Every second counts. Sometimes, one of the ways we waste time is in church. After service, some people will now be gisting and gisting. They are not talking about souls. They are not talking about anything kingdom-wise. They are just gisting. Wasting time. Maybe you need to even remove that. We are Christians, right? Maybe that's even what you need to remove. That, okay, after service, oh, you greeted everybody. Fine. And bye. Go. If you want to get married, don't do that too. Please, gist after service, please. Oh, that was in a lighter mode. But what I'm saying is, you want to now begin to break every time-wasting activities. What leads to doubt is double-mindedness and indecision. And what mostly leads to all those things is lack of clarity. And what are the enemies of taking action? Fear. I think we will only look at fear today. Fear. Joshua 1:8. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So as children of God, you also want to come to the consciousness that I know that God is with me. I know that my Redeemer lives. Remember that book by, I think, Brian Tracy that says, Eat That Frog. For some of us, the actions that actually will lead to the success we want is actually what we don't like to do. Trust me. Most things that lead to success are not the things you like to do. They are the things you don't like to do. And I will explain that. It's a two-edged sword. So, for example, I need to build my success around my gifts, my natural inclinations, right? But my gift naturally does not guarantee success. It is discipline that I don't like, right? Waking up at night or sleeping late at night, whichever one works for you. Spending more hours at work. Diligence. Doing the same thing over and over again, even if you don't like it. These are the things that will lead to the success that your gift can give you. So, for example, let's say I sing and I want to become the most famous godly singer in Nigeria. I didn't say gospel singer, I said godly. Because singing could be your profession. And it's not until you begin to sing Jesus, Jesus in your songs that you are a professional person. No. Most of the people we know who are musicians are probably living riotous life, drinking, smoking, doing all manner of things. You can be a singer with a difference. Singing about things that will elevate people. Of course, you can sing Jesus in your songs, but it's not even until you begin to sing Jesus and praise God's praise and worship leader that you are a gospel singer. No, a Christian singer is what I'm talking about now. There are gospel singers who are not godly, so it's not even that one. Anyone can praise God after they don't take Igbo finish. They can praise God and sing. I know people that their lifestyle is nothing that I know, but when they hold mic and they sing, oh my goodness. Is sometimes after Oguguru, that's when they begin to sing praise and worship, and everybody will be in the spirit in church. You know, God's spirit cannot be put in a limit. So, what I'm saying in essence is that be a Christian wherever you are, a child of God, even in your secular work. People need to see your life and say, what is different about you? And you tell them, Jesus is the difference in my life. Then they want to come to Christ. And sometimes you have to tell them about Jesus. So I'm not just ruling that out. But what we are saying today is that fear is one of the enemies of taking action. Some of us are just afraid of failure. You don't want to fail. But you know what? Sometimes you have to fail to be able to get to success. That one is not even failure. It's learning. Learning. A child who is walking falls and rises. Nobody ever calls that failure. Do you know that? A small child, a toddler, who is learning how to walk, as he's walking, he's falling. Everybody's just laughing and happy that he's falling. You can treat yourself like that. When you are trying to achieve something and you didn't achieve the result the first time, you have not failed, you are just learning. That's your toddler walk. So, fear, don't be afraid of failure. Then, two, don't be afraid of success. Some people are afraid of success. I've seen somebody said it before that, no, I don't want to have money in my life. I just want to be okay, be able to live my normal life, you know. That's what the person wanted. But for you as a child of God, you know, that's not what you want. You need to have exceptional success. Because your God in heaven has exceptional success. Jesus walked through this world. He was not begging and borrowing. So why should I be begging and borrowing? Exceptional. Soldiers were fighting over the clothes of Jesus. They were casting lots to see who would take it. If it was a ragged cloth, you think they would be doing that? It's not like that too. So, be strong. Don't be afraid of success. Some people are afraid of success. Will thief not come to my house if I be in a big house? Not if you have good security. And God is your security, of course. So, don't be afraid of failure. Don't be afraid of success. Everything works together for your good and my good. One of the enemies of taking action is being afraid. Being afraid of what will happen. See, forget what will happen. Trust God. If God says go ahead, move ahead. Nothing can stop you as a child of God. So, and then I think I've had one more. We have so many. Next, we will continue this series. Procrastination. I will do it. I will not do it. Let me do it. I will do it tomorrow. I will do it tomorrow. Everything you need to do now, forget about tomorrow. Do it now. If you cannot finish it today, it's a different case. But don't just wake up and say, I will do it tomorrow when you can do it today and you have the time. And you decide to watch movie instead of doing. No, do that thing first. And then you can have time to relax. Of course, I'm not saying you should not relax. But I'm saying, you know, this is the time to do this. Do not procrastinate. Procrastination is a thief of time. It steals time. And things that you do halfway are never done well. That's what my father told me. I've said it over and over again. I'm not tired of saying it. I'll keep saying it. Because that's a gift he gave me in my life. It was a liberation to me. Procrastination will make you forget things. Procrastination will make you ineffective. Procrastination will make you unserious. Will make you look unserious to people. And they will not take you serious. But I know we are all free today in Jesus' name. So, we have come to the end of the episode today. Please don't miss next week and invite someone. Because this has just begun. Remember, the goal at the end of the day is for you to be fruitful. If you are going to take anything away, even if you are going to forget anything today, don't forget about you focusing on the actions required. So, for example, like I said, if you're going to achieve 1 million and then like we broke it down, that is still the goal, right? The goal is still, I want to make 700, my hour must be worth 700, then my day should be worth like 25k and all that. That is the goal. It's not even action. The next thing you need to do is find the action you need to do. So, for example, if what you want to achieve in your business is like 20K, how many customers will I need to have 20K? And then how many people will I need to reach to be able to make that 20K? So, for example, if 5 customers will bring 20K to you, just 5 times 10, maybe you need to reach 50 people and look for avenues. Now, this is talking about being smart, God opening your eyes to the wells of water. God can open your eyes to how you can now reach 50 people easily. Because if you want to reach people one by one, it may be difficult. So maybe you need to run ads online if your business can benefit from online ads. Different things now that you need to do, because now you know the activities required to bring that success. As you step out this week, focus on results, not activity. Results, not activity. Put it in the chat, results. That's your contribution to the episode today. Just put it in the chat, results. In capital letter, results, not activities. And I pray that as we begin to do that, God will help us. That as we step out this week, we are focused on results, not activities. May God empower you and I to have results in the name of Jesus. Next week, I'll be sharing with us how our attention is being broken. You'll be shocked at how much we are all distracted. I had a revelation this week, not spiritual revelation, so to say. I found that there's a platform where you can actually get an accountability partner. You are paired automatically. You are on video with that person. So that person tells you what he wants to achieve. You also tell the person what you want to achieve. And you are there for maybe 25 minutes, 50 minutes, 75 minutes. I was surprised at how much I was able to achieve. Distraction was gone, because now at the end of it, I need to report to that person that, this is what I need to achieve. And at the end of the day, how many people like that? You now tell people that, sorry, I didn't achieve it. No, you don't feel good about that. So you are striving to finish within the time. I did so many things. I even did a video this week. Do you know how long I've been planning to do a video on YouTube? I did one this week because I was able to focus. So this week, results, not activities. May God empower you and I to be able to do that in Jesus' name. I want to assume everyone has been blessed today, because I have been blessed. I already know why I didn't get my results last week. So I'm taking action this week. Praise God. Let's just pray for ourselves today and say, Father, grace for me to be focused. Grace for me to be focused on results. Release it to me afresh in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, grace for me to be focused on results. Release it to me afresh in the name of Jesus. And now, this prayer is very important. Let's begin to cast off everything breaking our focus. The Father, reveal to me everything breaking my focus. And Lord, I destroy them in the name of Jesus. Power to take them out of my life or to have control over them. Release it to me in the name of Jesus. Father, everything breaking my focus, reveal them to me. Remove them from my life to have power over them, to begin to step over them. Father, release that grace afresh to me in the name of Jesus, for me to know them when they come and to resist them, even like I will resist the enemy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Thank you, everyone that has been part of this today. And I pray that even as you step out this week, may you have results. I am waiting for your testimony next week. And I will see that you have achieved more in Jesus' name. All right. Have a great day, everyone. Bye. TheGoodSuccess.com